You're listening to the Soccer Report Extra podcast with your hosts, Bobby McMahon and Owen O'Callaghan.
Welcome to this week's Soccer Report Extra podcast. Due to his behaviour in last week's episode, Bobby McMahon has been handed a one-pod ban and is taking in some quiet time to think about what he did. In the meantime, you're just going to have to make do with me, Owen O'Callaghan. Insert mass applause here. Thankfully, fellow Fox Soccer Report anchor Asa Raymond joins me, and at the controls, as always, we have faithful and loyal producer, Mr. Luke Crawford. Firstly, thanks to you all for making last week's pod a record breaker. Very kind of you all. And secondly, sincere apologies. This podcast, a little later than usual due to those pesky Euro qualifiers, but it gives us quite a bit to chat about. Four teams assured of their place at next summer's tournament in Poland and the Ukraine. Back on Friday, Germany became the first team to qualify as winners in Group A. And on Tuesday, they were joined by Holland, Italy and Spain. But, Asa, let's begin with Group B.
Yeah, interesting group here, and I know that you have an interest, very vested interest with Ireland in there, and they have shown that they belong in that group, and I think that they will make things interesting for the last couple of games, and not just, I guess, the opportunity to win the group, but that that playoff or that second place spot is up for grabs as well, and they're in that hunt as well.
Yeah, it was an interesting weekend. It started off horribly for the Republic of Ireland team. They were at home to Slovakia. Desperately needed 3 points because there was an ominous trip to Moscow on the horizon on the following Tuesday. So everyone was thinking, get 3 points in the bag here, maybe possibly pick up a point in Moscow, and suddenly, wow, we're in terrific shape in the group.
And they had their chance to do that as well.
Yeah. The game at the Aviva, ultimately the big thing about Giovanni Trapattoni's side is that when we play at home, we play as an away side.
Right.
So what I mean by that is when you're at home, you've got your own support in front of you, cheering you on. You should push and you should press and you should be offensively much more relaxed and feel good enough about your setup and about your tactics and about your formations to push on and
create you should
chances.
Be the aggressor at home.
Exactly. You shouldn't have to I suppose, sit back and
absorb.
No,
you should dictate to the way the game should be played at home.
Exactly.
When you're a decent side.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in Ireland's case, they've rarely done that at home. And again, against Slovakia, they just didn't create any sort of chances. The first decent chance that came in that game was after 75 minutes. A cross came into Robbie Keane.
Yeah.
And he shouldered it over the bar. Normally, his shoulder is quite reliable. It's got us out of a couple of different scraps over the years. But on this occasion, it went over the bar. I went online and kind of said, ah, yeah, that's what MLS does to you.
And you were paid for that
well,
remark.
A lot of people didn't take too kindly to that remark about Major League Soccer. Anyway, there was another chance for Richard Dunn right at the death. But again, it was that moment where Ireland waited until the final 10 minutes to push on and try to get a goal from somewhere. As it turned out, it was a scoreless draw against Slovakia at home. Meanwhile, Russia beat Macedonia by a goal to nil. So suddenly, you were thinking on Friday, this is not looking good. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to Tuesday, in Moscow, Republic of Ireland go into this game without three of their first choice four defenders. John O'Shea was missing due to injury. Kevin Kilbane was missing due to injury. And Sean St. Ledger was suspended.
Yeah.
So huge emphasis on the senior players in the team to get us somehow through this 90 minutes. It was backs to the wall. It was relentless. But Richard Dunn, Aston Villa's Richard Dunn, for anyone who watched Aston Villa in the Premier League last year, it is the same Richard Dunn. This is not a new player from nowhere. He was imperious. It was, I think, the best defensive performance from an Irish player on the international stage that I've seen since, I'm going to say, Paul McGrath in the 1984 World Cup.
Wow, big statement.
He was just a wall. You just could not get through him. And Russia created chance after chance, but he was just incredible from beginning to end. Also, there was this brilliantly poetic moment. The running track. There's a running track around the Luzhniki Stadium. So Yuri Zhirkov and Richard Dunn collide right on the touchline and both players hit the running track quite hard. Dunn has kind of cut up his face a little bit. So they come on, give him some attention, and it's clear that he's kind of bloodied his jersey. So he's like, okay, get me a new jersey. Yep, takes off the old one, puts on a new one, off he goes. The next break of play, the referee looks at Dunn, says, whoa, 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 whoa. come here a second. Dunn's like, what's the problem? He's like, you got to leave the pitch. And Dunn's like, what? Hang on, I'm not bleeding from anywhere. Yeah. He's like, you know what you've done. Go over to the sideline, get yourself sorted. What had happened was the guys on the touchline had given him a jersey with no number on the back of it. So the referee needs a number if he's going to book a player to make an official record in his post game. So there was an administrator from the Irish backroom team who took out a felt-tipped pen.
This is brilliant.
And drew the number 5 on the back of a jersey and on the front of it, just in case.
Yeah,
and then just sent them back on the pitch and off you go. It proved to be a lucky charm because Ireland somehow held on. They picked up an invaluable point in Moscow, mm-hmm. given the circumstances. They created nothing. Ireland played horrendously, but somehow we got a point. And later on that same afternoon, you were looking at Slovakia playing a game against Armenia at home. You were thinking, oh, if Slovakia win this, this really puts the onus on them to push through and qualify. Armenia stuffed 4 goals past Slovakia on their travels, and somehow Group B now has 4 teams that still potentially can qualify. It's incredible.
Wide open. Just to paint the picture, Russia sit at 17 points right now with that top spot. Ireland with 15 points, just 2 behind. Armenia and Slovakia now both tied with 14 points. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is wide open. 2 games left for everyone in this competition still. And that top spot, that's one of the few groups that top spot is still up for grabs because we have a few teams now that have qualified.
Mm-hmm. The fixture list for this group is also quite interesting. There's 2 more round of games to be played on the 7th and 11th of October.
Yeah.
And once that is finished, the group stage is finalised, completed, and we'll all know the teams, barring the playoff stage, obviously, but we will know the automatically qualified teams. On the 7th of October, Slovakia host Russia, which promises to be an absolutely incredible game. Slovakia, having been stuffed 4-0 at home, so they'll go into that, hosting Russia, probably with a little bit of trepidation. Elsewhere, Republic of Ireland, on their travels, they face Andorra, which is the group's whipping boys. And then 4 days after that, Republic of Ireland host Armenia in Dublin. Armenia, perhaps, could still be in contention of qualifying for a playoff spot in Group B in that game. Mm-hmm. And then elsewhere, Macedonia hosting Slovakia, Russia at home to Andorra. So even still, as much as the penultimate stage of those qualifiers, there is a lot at stake. Even on the final day, that game between the Republic at home to Armenia still has so much riding on it.
Yeah, a lot of it, though, weighing in on that Slovakia-Russia game in Slovakia, I think it's all to play for there. Mm-hmm. If Russia come out, get the win that they need, they go up to 20 points. And almost, separate themselves to the pack and almost mm-hmm. ensure that top spot.
Yeah.
A draw or a Slovakia win, and then, it's wide open. Unfortunately, with the playoff for that playoff spots, the Andorra game, that bottom team, the results against Andorra are just nullified. So mm-hmm. the game that Republic of Ireland have, I guess not as important. Good to get the mm-hmm. win, but doesn't help you to get that special spot and for Russia as well. So that Russia-Slovakia game, I think it's all on the table there.
Let's turn our attentions to some more groups. Group C, which features Italy having qualified on Tuesday. They beat Slovenia by 1-0. Actually, a relatively impressive Italian performance, I thought, even though it was a slender win. A lot of critics saying that the performance was average, laborious, and all the rest of it.
It was Italian.
It was Italian. it was. Antonio Cassano, I thought, again, when Cassano's on a pitch, I just think whoever he plays for, be it a club team or on the international level, he just brings something to proceedings that no other player can bring. He's just unique. Mm-hmm. And he, again, just a few little touches. He was had a lovely moment on the edge of the box where, the Slovenian defence pushed up a little bit, leaving space in behind. What does he do? He scoops the ball up over that line of defence, similar to the goal scored by Daniel Welbeck in that Arsenal game when Anderson scooped it up over the defence and played him in. But Italy won the winners over Slovenia. But elsewhere, Northern Ireland, who for quite a considerable period of time looked to be in relative contention for a playoff spot, they went to Estonia on Tuesday and got absolutely hammered by 4-1. They just made a couple of really, really basic errors away from home, away from the comforts of Belfast, and now suddenly they're second from bottom on 9 points after 8 games played. and their team manager, Nigel Worthington, former international player, very successful player as well in the Premiership with Sheffield Wednesday, amongst others. His job is now kind of on the line. Laurie Sanchez, who was a very, very successful manager of the Northern Irish team, was very, very critical of Worthington, just saying that his time is up. I think the phrase he uses, the writing is on the wall, while also saying that he wants to go back and finish the work that he began as Northern Ireland manager. So it's like, yeah, Nigel, you're crap. Also, I'd like to say I am available to take this job if the Northern Irish Football Association are on the lookout for a new manager. I am that manager.
Yeah.
But yeah, Northern Ireland kind of collapsing. Italy through. Also, you're going to have to look at Estonia making this group quite interesting now.
Yeah, they're the ones that have really, stirred up the pot there. That game against Northern Ireland is going to be big for Northern Ireland because you look at the table there and, disappointed start for them or group stage for them, but still a chance to get into that second spot, especially playing Italy for their final game of the group stage. When Italy have it wrapped up, there's still an opportunity there. But Estonia, obviously, they'd like to seek some revenge and have a better result at home.
Looking elsewhere, Group D, France.
This is puzzling, but is it? You know, France, a side that have had some trouble finding their way and really cementing themselves as one of the top clubs. And I think that the top countries have shown themselves. I just want to quickly mention that, Germany, Italy, Spain, and the Netherlands qualified through the group stage. And they've shown that they are the cream of the crop right now in Europe. They're just above everyone else. And then you have France that I think are in that next group that have potential to do something. We've been waiting for them to do that for the last decade. And England, I think, are in that group as well. But with that Group D, real interesting. With France just a point above Bosnia and Romania and Belarus staying in contention as well.
Yeah, France went to Romania on Tuesday, and Laurent Blanc making a very, very brave decision, dropping the likes of Samir Nasri and Florent Malouda from his starting 11 based on form. And he just said, listen, I don't care who you are. If you're not at the top of your game, I'm not going to play you. Instead, I think he brought in the likes of Johan Cabaye and Marvan Martin, who's just setting Liga on fire with Sochaux. Had such an incredible season. He's a brilliant player, and sure to be a kind of a summer target for a lot of clubs next year. But they involved themselves in a rather bit of a sticky situation because the pitch in Romania was absolutely dire in Bucharest, where this it was just cutting up. It looked as if it was farmland that they were playing on. And Blanc was kind of quite critical of the pitch afterwards as well. Not surprisingly, because as much as people will argue, you should have got the job done anyway. I mean, if you're not playing on quality turf, it's going to affect the zip of a pass. It affects the control of a striker bringing the ball down. It control, there's a lot of variables involved in that. Some of the things that we wanted to kind of mention briefly that's occurred during the European qualifiers over the last number of days. Sherlan Shaqiri for Switzerland, who we saw during the under-21 European Championships.
He lit that tournament up.
Switzerland getting to the final, beaten by Spain in the under-21s. Shaqiri with a hat-trick against Bulgaria in Group G. His final goal, his third goal of that hat-trick, absolute thumper in off the underside of the bar, so he gets extra points for that. just makes it extra sweeter. Extra sweet even. Also in Group H, much maligned on this podcast from Bobby McMahon, I would hasten to add, Nicholas Bentner with two goals for Denmark. And they've made things very interesting in Group H. Gaming in Copenhagen against Norway, who are also in contention. Norway, who were leading this group earlier on, and they suffer a 2-0 defeat on their travels.
Yeah, this Group H is the only group with the top three teams all tied right now at 13 points. And it's wide open. It's very interesting. Bentner and Shaqiri, I think, are two interesting players.
I mean, Bentner's two goals. The first one was very Bentner in its certainly in its finish. He was in the just outside the six-yard box, just turns on a pass. Makes a kind of a clever run and just takes a step back, knocks it into the top corner. The second one, though, saw him drop deeper out the field and just kind of arrow kind of a low 20 yarder into the bottom corner.
That's what I like about Bentner, though. Mm. I like the fact that he can come deeper and not be that that deep target up the pitch, but actually come a little bit further back, pick up the ball, turn, have a look. And I think that this is good for him. And I think
it's good for Sunderland.
That's what I was going to say. I think this will translate onto the club level, and I think it's good for him to maybe get out of Arsenal and see a different role, see a different environment, and hopefully get more minutes and just be more positive offensive talent, because I think he is.
Mm-hmm. You just mentioned how Bentner could bring his international form and translate it to club level. Another player who many supporters will be hoping can do the exact same is Luka Modric. Currently embroiled in this kind of drama at Spurs. He's going to obviously have to stay put until January at least with the closure of the transfer window. But his Croatian side in Group F were at home to Israel, and Modric just orchestrated this performance. Israel were a goal up at halftime. They just nicked the goal before the break. And shortly after the restart, Modric picks a ball up about 30 yards from goal and just dips it into the top corner. And you just wanted a moment of inspiration, and he just steps up and provides it. And then a couple of minutes later, he provides the pass for Eduardo. Eduardo gets a second one. And then a couple of minutes after that, Eduardo gets Croatia's third and his second. Croatia ending up 3-1 winners. They go top of Group F. But it was just interesting to see that Modric, just at international level. Yeah. We saw his body language in his last outing with Spurs. He was taken off after whatever it was, an hour or so. But as you mentioned with Bentner, the kind of freedom when you get outside the discomfort that club, you move on to international level, you're still such a big name player. Everyone is counting on you to perform. You don't really have as much pressure out of the kind of pressure cooker environment.
Right.
The shackles kind of come off a little
bit. The difference between these two guys, though, is that Bentner was able to move, and he's in a new environment now at the club level, and he's able to, find his form.
Yeah.
For Modric, though, this is great. Good that he's able to do this with Croatia, and he's obviously in a better place when he's playing with his fellow countrymen, and you see it in his game. But you always knew that. You knew that Modric has that. You know that he has that talent, which is why he was such a coveted commodity, through the transfer window. But is that going to translate with Tottenham? Is he going to go back there and still be the sulky Modric that we've seen so far? Can he just flick a switch and say, I'm happy all of a sudden?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And it was interesting watching that game. It was the ills that North London clubs have experienced in recent times. Spurs, obviously, still to win a game this season. Arsenal, still to win a game this season. Modric pulling the strings. And Eduardo, formerly of Arsenal, scoring twice. And it just was that little window of, wow, if that was a player who things went a little bit better for him at Arsenal, just to have him around that club at the moment. Still can score goals, still a lot of genuine quality. And very, very fortunate that he didn't get another leg broken in this game. There was a tackle that came in from Tal Ben-Haim. Ben-Haim was dished a straight red card for a studs-up tackle on Eduardo, who knows a thing or two about being on the receiving end of hard tackles. Thankfully, he kind of got up and was able to shake it off. But one other huge thing about these European groups before we leave them and before we get into more important discussions. The best runner-up spot, we've kind of touched on it briefly.
Yeah.
For people who aren't aware, the 9 group winners obviously progress automatically, but there's one best runner-up will also qualify. And how that is judged is your results from your group games against the first, third, fourth, and fifth teams. Now, also how this works is that the lowest seed in your group, so the Andorras, the San Marinos, the Liechtensteins of this world, your results against those teams will not count. So it doesn't matter if Holland stick 11 goals past San Marino. When it comes to this battle for the best runner-up, those results just don't count. So where we sit at the moment is very, very interesting. Denmark sit top of this little mini group on 13 points. Now, Denmark, obviously, as we've touched on previously, can still qualify as top in Group H. Where it gets interesting is further down the list. You've got Bosnia, who are also on 13 points in this mini group. You've got Sweden, and you've got the Republic of Ireland. So they're the top four. Denmark we have mentioned are kind of in top spot here, but they face games against Cyprus and Portugal. They're their two remaining fixtures. They need to go away to Cyprus, and they've also got to face the Portuguese. So Denmark, it's not outside the realms of possibility that they could actually remain on 13 points, even with two fixtures left. For Bosnia, they've got two games left, one against Luxembourg, one against France. Luxembourg, the bottom seed in that group, so their game against Luxembourg won't count. So the other game that they've got left is against France. Very, very tough to see them. Maybe they can pick up a point. Maybe they can pick up all three. But certainly, Sweden and the Republic of Ireland will be looking at the games they have left, looking at the mathematics. I don't know if people in these in both these camps are looking at the mathematics just yet, but they're still in good shape to possibly nick a place as the best runner-up. So I'd urge people to just keep a little bit of an eye on how that mini group is faring at the moment.
No, that's a good point. One curveball I will throw in there, and this is really just strange and interesting. Group E, and I've never seen this before, at this stage, through eight games played, not a single draw in the group.
Yeah.
Just a novelty item, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But it does create an interesting scenario where the Netherlands have advanced.
Yep.
But they're sitting at 24 points, Sweden at 18. The two sides still play each other. Sweden can technically win the group, and Netherlands would then be that team.
Yeah.
So that's the one strange, not very likely.
Yes.
But the Netherlands have advanced because they either win their group or have claimed top spot as that second team, I guess, or that that playoff spot.
And as the group stage has proven to us already, just when you think that you've written something off, it'll come back and cause mass confusion. We do need to touch on one very important game that occurred over the last few days, which was the United States were on their travels. Now, this was the second of two friendlies in close proximity to each other, the other being a game against Costa Rica. Three games into Jurgen Klinsmann's reign as US boss, and he's still to win a game. Probably most worryingly for him as well, in those three games, the US have scored just one goal. Now, before we get caught up in this too much, are we still giving Jurgen Klinsmann plenty of more time before he starts coming up with the right answers, or should we start questioning things even at this early stage?
I think you definitely have to give him more time, and I think that there are signs of encouragement, but at the same time, you have to be realistic in that, you know, and we had talked about this before, when this announcement was made that Jurgen was coming in, very hesitant, didn't understand why this had happened. Mm-hmm. I appreciated what Bob Bradley had done over the past couple years in particular. And this seemed like a knee-jerk reaction, very sudden, harsh reaction. So I don't know if Jurgen was ever the guy. I was never really sold on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely have questions on whether or not he's the right guy or if he can even coach at that level.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced. I think that, you know, he's a good motivator. He says the right things. He's a good person in front of camera. I just don't know if he's a really good coach, international or club level even. But he is infusing this youth and, giving some of the younger players the chance to play, really showing a lot of confidence in Breck Shea, and he's rewarding him for showing him 90 minutes. And Breck Shea looks promising. But how long can you go with that? And I don't know, I guess Germany's squad, you've seen them come around in the last little while. So maybe there's an investment there, and that's the idea. So you definitely have to give it time now that you've already given him control.
Mm.
But yeah, there are question marks, and I'm not sold on Jurgen. And I think, we'll have to wait and see.
The interesting thing about this is how long should it be before serious question marks are raised?
Right.
Because at the moment it seems to be, he's only had three games. So you're like, okay, well, he's only had three games. One thing that becomes prominent is players. We've heard this term bandied about. He's experimenting. It's experimentation. And people almost use that term in order to quell any fears about anything. It's okay because he's experimenting. He's brought in a couple of players into this setup. Now, here's the hard question for Jurgen Klinsmann. When it comes to World Cup qualifiers next year, is it just going to be the same reliable 11 players that we have grown accustomed to seeing start for the US in the last 2-3 seasons? Because ultimately, outside of perhaps a Breck Shea,
right,
the pool of players that he has at his disposal who are, can reach and have the potential to reach a certain level is quite small. I mean, you look at your Dempseys, your Donovans, your Chirundolos, your Bocanegras, your Tim Howards.
Those are the guys that should be on the pitch. Those are the 11.
As in, he doesn't have much wiggle room. As right. much as he'll bring in these guys for friendlies.
It's Kyle Beckermans. As, and
yeah, I mean, yeah. Ultimately, when push comes to shove, when everybody is fully fit, and when the real pressure is on, I mean, how realistic is it to expect 3-4 new faces?
Right.
Just stepping into the US team, breathing a new lease of life into this sort of US setup.
Yeah. And if that's the case, then what's the point of even doing it now? You know, why are you experimenting now if you, unless he really believes in some of these players to be in the picture come qualification time? I don't know.
It's one of those things that you don't want to be too hard on Jurgen Klinsmann, because I feel 3 games in, firstly, you're still kind of getting to know certain players. But one major worry has to be for Klinsmann, the side's inability to score goals.
Yeah.
And now this is a thing, and it feeds into 2 things, I think. The lack of a kind of a Brian McBride figure, a genuine goal scorer. Eric Winalda also comes into that. A guy who can poach, a guy can just score the ugly goals.
Because I think Josie could be that guy, though.
You think so?
Yeah. I think Altidore can be that guy.
He had a lousy first half against Belgium. He's come in for a lot of criticism for his performance again in that Belgium game.
Yeah. But I think that if we're just talking about that guy, that McBride guy that, you know, just poaches goals, he can be that guy. I don't know what the system or the scheme is that he's trying to develop and really input here, because it seems like he's experimenting.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know where he's going, what his direction is, because we're not seeing enough consistency out of their lineup.
Yeah.
And, you know, tough opponents, I guess. So you're unable to really see how they want to build their offense and how they want to attack. And outside of, you know, Breck Shea or Agudelo maybe trying to make something happen, that's all I'm really taking from the offense. But surely there needs to be more of a system or a scheme in place that's, once I think that develops and Josie has more of a distinct role, maybe as a goal scorer, I think he can be that player.
Yeah. Interesting as well, the kind of enforced absence of Jermaine Jones and Michael Bradley.
Yeah.
Now it looks like it's going to be very difficult for these guys to get back inside, mainly because Klinsmann looks to be favouring a midfield 3 of Moadou, Breck Shea and Jose Torres from Pachuca. And then obviously it'll be another front 3 or front 1 in whatever way you want to look at the formation. Dempsey, Donovan and AN other
right
through the middle, be it Altidore or be it Agudelo. So for Bradley and Jones, who during the Gold Cup were a first choice pairing, it's not looking good for them. Now, that seems to be where there's the most surgery being done by Klinsmann. It's in that midfield and trying to come up with the right combinations. But it's all very well trying to get your combinations right in midfield. But, I mean, from looking at the Belgium game, firstly, there seemed to be this massive, huge gulf between where Altidore was being placed and where the midfield was, which meant that you didn't have... Now, granted, you didn't have Landon on the pitch, who can ferry between midfield and up front. But they did have Dempsey, and it's weird. I'm not sure if Klinsmann has doubts about where he sees Dempsey being most prominent, where he's most effective. Certainly, you need to have Dempsey as close to goal as you can, just because he's an invaluable goal-getter. But forcing him further out the field, I think, is just a little bit strange. Whether or not Klinsmann wants to pack a midfield, and he asked for them to be more nasty. in true Gary Speed style, as he asks Wales to be against Montenegro. I'm not sure if nasty happened. They were a little bit probably more dirty, more scrappy.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you said, I think there are still quite a lot of question marks.
Yeah, and it's still early, you know, and they need to find a way to, I guess that nastiness or scrappiness, maybe. But I think the idea is to get a ball winner, to get possession, to win challenges and put the other team under pressure. So aside from the offensive, they didn't show, for me anyway, defensively, a willingness to go and get the ball and be a little more aggressive defensively as well. So
Yeah,
it's a wait and see still, unfortunately. Yeah. Three games in, one goal to show for, one draw, the best result, and still too many question marks. All right, now we'll switch our focus to the most anticipated part of today's podcast. Talked about, tweeted about all week, past month, I think. Mm-hmm. Now, I am privileged to know the full story,
but I think it's about time.
That's everyone here, the porn star airport airplane story.
Owen? You teed that up quite nicely there.
Well, I was trying to. I don't know. Yeah. I hope I...
I can just envisage listeners, and they're salivating as they're listening to this podcast. And they go, so who is he? What name is he going to drop here? What famous porn star is he going to talk about?
I think the more you mention porn star on this podcast, the more hits it'll get too. I think that there are certain devices mm-hmm. that would make sure it gets a good number of hits.
I think anytime we say tweeting. Porn.
Yeah.
Porn.
Right. Now it's porn. Officially in the keyword.
Sorry,
now when you Google,
yeah.
it's up.
Yeah. here is the story. Okay? Now, feel free, listeners, to fill in the gaps. I'm going to leave certain key information out just to, you know, I suppose... Protect the innocent or not so innocent. And also, just kind of, I suppose, let the rumor mill go into overdrive as well. Okay, producer Luke, I'm getting to it. Okay. Right, I'm just about to board a flight on the West Coast and flying elsewhere. And I'm in my terminal, about to board my plane. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to get a coffee just before I hop onto the plane. So I'm going to get a coffee. And I pass a bar. There's a bar, and a little bar in the terminal. And there's a woman at the bar having a drink. And I'm with my significant other. And I pass a comment about this particular woman because this woman had a very short skirt on. Manny would say a non-existent skirt. Manny would say a belt was covering her lower region. She also was very heavily made up. She had a very stereotypical pair of leather knee-high boots on.
You had a good look at the...
I had a good... It wasn't just a glimpse. This was at least a triple take. So we, myself and my partner, kind of had a bit of a giggle about it, and we made some funny comments. And, my missus kind of said, aha, knowing her look, that woman's going to be on our flight. I presumed, and I talked about at that time, that this girl was a high-end escort. That's what I presumed.
Right.
Just from, you know, listeners out there will know what I'm talking about. You just kind of get a vibe, you know, and... So on and so forth. Anyway, so I hop onto my flight, sitting down, and my missus in the aisle seat, me in the middle, the window seat still available, just about to close the doors of the plane. This has had taken some time to load the bags and stuff. The same woman comes onto her flight. And I look at my missus, go, aw, this is a bit crazy.
Yeah.
And my missus is like, she's going to sit right there. I'm like, that's not going to happen. Stop being so silly. And she ended up sitting right next to me. But before she sat next to me, she said, oh, sorry, that's my seat.
Okay, understand. Okay, let's say the seats are ABC from window to aisle. ABC. Who's seated where?
She's in A.
Okay.
I'm in B.
Okay.
My missus is in Z.
Gotcha.
Okay. So I'm piggy in the middle. Right. So before she sits down, she says, oh, I'll be back in just a jiffy. I'm just going to use the bathroom. 15 minutes later, she comes back from the bathroom. 15 minutes. So, you know that time when you're just on the runway, about to take off. There's that massive delay. that delay was over by the time she came out. She sat down and we just started taking off. I don't know what she was doing. I do not know. Maybe listeners have a better idea or conjure up in your mind what she could possibly have been doing in the bathroom. I don't know. But yeah, so that was the first strange thing. So we get into the flight and I feel very uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, I don't know why I feel so uncomfortable. I'm sweating. I'm like, this is weird. You know, I can't believe I'm sitting next to an escort for a start.
This is what you presume still, the escort?
This is what I presume still. And a little bit into the flight, she starts talking to me. And I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be awkward. So she's got nothing with her on the flight. So no iPod, no book, no magazine, nothing. So she's just staring straight into space for the entire flight until she starts talking to me. So she said, have you lived in such a city for long? You know, you're obviously heading back there. I'm like, oh, I've lived there. Yeah, you know, for a short period of time. Okay, yeah. Where are you from originally? Oh, I'm from Ireland originally. Oh, yeah, that's fine. What do you do? Oh, I work in television. Then she says, oh, a bit like myself.
Oh, wow.
So that's the first little, curveball. Okay.
You must be hesitant to...
No, in my mind, yeah. In my mind, I'm going, what? No, hang on a second. So then I ask her, Owen, are you heading to this part of the world just on a vacation? Oh, no, it's work-related. Oh, okay. And where are you from originally? Oh, I'm from West Coast. I'm from California, LA, originally. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, this woman is from LA originally, and she works in TV / televisual production.
So did she say she's an actress?
Yes. She said she's an actress.
She's an actress, yeah.
After she said she was an actress, the next question you ask someone in that position is, oh, I must have seen you in something. What have you been in? Tell me. I made a point of completely avoiding that question because I knew exactly what she was going to say in response. So I said, Owen, how long are you going to be in this place, in this particular area of the world? And she said, it can change. You know, they tell me a week. It can quickly become 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
So there's just this awkward silence. I am just sweating, just sweat pouring off me. I'm just so uncomfortable.
What's your lady doing through all this?
She is just
listening in.
Eavesdropping cleverly.
Right.
So, like, she's flicking through Glossy magazine with kind of one ear, like, cocked.
Yeah.
You know, just... So that's fine. So then the conversation kind of dies down a little bit. I cannot believe what's going on here. So I excuse myself, go to the bathroom, come back. And then she gets up again, goes to the bathroom again for about 15 minutes. I don't know what she was doing. So at that stage, my missus says to me, she opened up her little her gear bag that she had with her. She had a tiny little gear bag. I'm like, oh, yeah. So my missus is like, oh, I saw what was in it. I'm like, oh, what was in it? My missus says, boots. I said, what? She said, boots. I'm like, what do you mean boots? As in the kind of the stuff that she's wearing. Just more of them. I'm like, just what? There's boots. Nothing else in the bag. There's nothing else. I was kind of like, just at an angle, just trying to peer in to see if there's nothing. No clothes, nothing. So she just had boots. Who has a carry-on filled with just boots on an airplane? That's insane. Then, so she comes back from the bathroom and she does this. She takes out perfume from her little bag. Sorry, her bag contained boots.
And perfume.
And she starts spraying herself in perfume. That is not out of the ordinary. People do this quite a lot. She sprays half the bottle over herself. The smell is just pungent in the air. Like, we start coughing. Because, you know, there's just this relentless stream of perfume being sprayed in her general vicinity. And then she does this. She sprays perfume on her hands. Just on
wow.
Her. Who does that? Who does that? So we're just sitting there going, this is insane. So eventually, after exchanging some more pleasantries about what way the weather is going to be, this particular destination, we fly into this particular place and go to the carousel to collect our bags. So we're paying particular attention to this woman. Where is she going to go to next? Who's going to meet her at the carousel? Who's going to escort her off the premises? She had nothing with her. She had nothing. No bag, nothing. And then she was just she's got boots with her. And then she was picked up at the airport by this guy and just kind of escorted off, probably to like a tinted out Mercedes or Hummer or something like that. And she drove into the night, probably filled with debauchery, naughty behaviour, and a film crew. Oh, yes, speaking of film crew, she also revealed to us during her conversations that when she touched down in this particular place, that she was going to meet the crew of the movie she was working on, and they would go out for dinner.
Oh, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
So, for all those people listening, if you know of... No, sorry, I would like to preface this with... I know all of you are out there going, yeah, but she didn't tell you that she was a porn star, did she? So how do you know she was a porn star? I know she was a porn star, okay? I know she was a porn star. Also, a lot of you probably at this stage already know who it is. I certainly don't. To give you a description, dark hair, heavily made up. She seemed older. She seemed older and her makeup was kind of put on her face in order to make her seem younger. But you could kind of see through the cracks and say, yeah, you're kind of you're an old woman, you know, you're out of time here, love. You're kind of like just clinging on with the fingernails in the industry. So yes, in the industry, is because I'm such an expert of things in the industry and how things work and operate. But it was the most insane moment that I've had in quite a while. I don't know who it is.
But based on that description, if you know who it is, feel free to post the picture on your Twitter.
Oh yeah, send suggestions because okay, that's her. That's not her. That could be her. That's her with a wig. That's her or whatever else it is. But yeah, she ticked so many stereotypes, you know, of what a porn star is. The one thing is, she didn't have big boobs. Which I was expecting.
That should help with the search process.
Yes,
now.
She didn't look heavily siliconed in her mammary gland areas. certainly her face looked as if there had been a little bit of work done here and there. A little nip and tuck, perhaps. So yes, if anyone has any idea, perhaps you follow people on Twitter who said, oh, I'm just going here for a few weeks to do a shoot. Met somebody from Ireland on an aeroplane. He was very nice. Said he worked in television. A bit like me. That might fill in a blank or two.
Reunite them is all I'm asking.
Oh, well, our conversation was just of the highest caliber. I mean, we talked about some hard shit.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So, yes, for all the listeners out there who are now going, oh, finally, some closure. You don't have to send me tweets and you don't need to leave comments saying, can we hear about the porn star story? Because that is it. And I think we've spent as much time on the porn star story as we have discussing Jürgen Klinsmann's current state of affairs regarding the US men's national team and the current state of the European Championship 2012 qualifiers. So with that, we bid you all a fine farewell. Thank you for listening. This is another Soccer Report Extra podcast done and dusted. We hope that Bobby McMahon will join us next time out. He will recover sufficiently from his ban, perhaps learn his lesson about being so vigorous in his defense of Arsene Wenger, and maybe think twice about defending Arsene Wenger next time we get into a likewise discussion. So from Luke Crawford, who produced Asa Raymond, thank you very much for contributing. I am Owen O'Callaghan. Thank you all so much for listening. We're back next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Soccer Report Extra podcast. For more great soccer news, highlights, and analysis, watch the Fox Soccer Report every night at 10 p.m. Eastern on Fox Soccer and Fox Sports World Canada. And be sure to check out SoccerReportExtra.com daily for previews, opinions, and reviews. Music for this podcast provided by SoundJay.com. Thank you.